As a pastor, probably the single most common question I get, how do I know what God's will for my life is?
Pastor Brett Metter reminds us when we acknowledge God in all our ways, He'll direct our paths.
He knows what's best for you. He knows your situation better than you do. Don't leave Him out of parts of your life, but in all your ways, obey His word. You can know that He's the one who can do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or even think about.
On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter turns to Proverbs chapter 3, where we're invited to trust God wholeheartedly, acknowledging His wisdom over our own. This passage is a call to surrender, inviting us to place our confidence in God's wisdom and direction. And coming up, we'll learn of the promised benefits to trusting the Lord to direct our paths in all of our daily decisions.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Powerful, important words from Solomon, the wisest man that walked the face of the earth, except for maybe Jesus, of course, but Solomon was filled with godly wisdom. And then he penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is a true statement. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall make your path straight or direct your paths. Powerful and important. Let's break this down. I'd like to take this in five chunks of what's being said here. The first chunk is simply this. Number one, if you're jotting down notes, trust in the Lord. And the word trust is a great word. It's a powerful word. And, you know, we think of the word trust, and that's where you actually choose to believe that that thing is something you can lean on or put your trust in. Man, I hope you're one who believes not just that God exists, because that doesn't save you. You need to believe God. Everything that He says in His word and what's required to be saved, you got to believe that. That God became a man, lived among us, died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose from the grave. And when we believe, trust that that's the way that we're going to be saved, you're going to be saved. The Bible makes it clear. And so you've got this verse now here in Proverbs saying, trust in the Lord. That is to believe in the Lord, to believe what He says. To believe His word, heavy-duty word, that word trust, and it's important for us to know. So the word, it means to lean upon or to trust with all of your weight. And that's what this means, for you to trust that the Lord can handle you and your problems, and especially the problem of sin and death. And you're saying, I'm going to step on that limb of God to be saved. I'm going to trust that He can hold me, that He can take me. Trust in the Lord. That's what the scriptures tell us to do. Now, the thing about this that's kind of interesting is the Bible tells us all kinds of benefits to trusting. Joy comes to the person who trusts in the Lord. Listen to this. It's Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, so, it says, and I am helped. Therefore, because I trusted in the Lord, my heart greatly rejoices. The person who learns to put their trust in the Lord will have a rejoicing that comes from that. What a good benefit of trusting God. Rejoicing. Now, that's one of the benefits. Another benefit is also the Lord gives success and blesses those who put their trust in the Lord. I love the story of King Hezekiah. Some argue that Hezekiah, king of Israel, was one of the best kings, if not the best king of all of history of Israel. You say, well, better than David? David was great because he would be the father of the Messiah, the grandfather, if you would. However, Hezekiah, well, listen to this. It's 2 Kings 18. It says in verse 3, and Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And verse 5, he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him was none like him, not of Judah or any that were before him, because he trusted the Lord. We could go on about all the benefits of trusting God, but rejoicing, blessing, success, these are all promised, and that's what happens when you trust the Lord. So basically, trusting in the Lord to be saved and for everything else, trust. Trust in the Lord, number one. Number two, with all thine heart. That's the next phrase there, with all thy heart, as opposed to with all thy mind. Did you know you can trust the Lord in your mind, but not in your heart? Some of you, I think I include myself with some of you, this part's easy. I trust the Lord with my mind. I mathematically know that God is trustworthy and that he's always going to be faithful. And I've read the word and it says it and I believe it. I just, in my mind, I don't struggle with that one. But my heart is a different thing. Your heart is your part of you that thinks and feels. And so while you know the Lord is faithful and trustworthy, you still feel anxiety and stress. And sometimes you're like, I know it's going to work out, but I'm still nervous. I'm still freaking out emotionally. You know that it's going to work out, but you just don't know how to get your heart on board. Your mind is already on board, but your heart is not. Jesus said something about this that I think is life-changing. In the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus preached there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, you know, when Jesus was talking about setting your treasure in heaven and don't set your treasures on things of earth, or, you know, where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What a powerful and important truth in life. Contextually, Jesus was talking about, you know, setting your treasure in things above, heaven, and not on the things of this earth. But I think that it's true about everything. That having your treasure and making sure your heart follows the treasure, it's true, good and bad. What do you mean good and bad? Well, we know people that put their treasure in all kinds of things, and that's where their heart is. They're passionate about that thing. For some people, it's golf. I like to use golf because I am not good at golf. But you, some of you, you know the guy that goes to Dick's Sporting Goods and buys the best golf clubs and goes and spends 5 hours playing golf and then goes to the 19th hole and has an Arnold Palmer and hangs out with his golfing buddies and talks about the game. And they're late into the evening and they've spent all the time and money and energy. And by the time he gets home, wife's asleep, the kids are asleep, but he spent all his day and day after day. Some people are so into their hobby. Now, is there anything wrong with golf? Not necessarily, but whatever your thing is, if it's your whole energy, effort, time, what you'll find is you'll be in love with that. You'll be in love with golf. Congratulations. It's true about anything. However, if you follow what Jesus is saying, you can actually use that for a good thing. Have you ever heard somebody, like a young Christian, oh, I just love Jesus so much? And you're like, man, I wish I could, you know, we all say, well, correctly, I love Jesus, of course. But in your heart, you're like, man, I wished I had that same love for Jesus that new Christian has. How do you make sure? Jesus told us how to do it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Pour your energy, efforts, time, you know, put all your life into that and you'll find yourself loving that. And it could be Jesus. By the way, we can learn about marriage that way. If you're the woman who comes and says, Brett, my husband, I don't love him anymore. Well, has he done anything wrong? Not really. Just I don't love him. When we were young, I loved him. But see, the problem is where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Have you put your treasure into him? See, that's something, whatever you want to be in love with, you need to invest treasure, time, energy, money, effort into that, and you'll be in love with that. So it's kind of an important thing to understand. That's just the way human nature rolls. So when it comes to this issue, you know, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. How do you get that to where your heart, literally, you're not freaking out, you're not anxious, but your heart is sold. Lord, I know that I can trust you. And with all my heart, I know you've got me. Part of that comes from investing your time, energy, effort into the Lord. Are you, you know, reading the word? Are you in prayer about all those things? Are you investing time plugging into church, knowing other Christians and being around Christ and investing everything you got? And as you invest in the Lord, it's amazing how pretty soon your heart follows. It's almost like the Lord gave you a brain to make up your mind to go in a direction. And as you do that, then the Lord will start to slowly change your heart. You change your mind, God will change your heart. So that's the key. If you're anxious and you're not trusting the Lord and you're worried, one of the things you could do to maybe help with that a little bit is to say, okay, I'm going to choose to invest my energy, effort, time into the word and into prayer and into worship and into Christ. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Give him your whole heart. That's the answer for this. Now, he didn't say half of a heart. Trust the Lord with half your heart. He says, trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Half-hearted Christianity is something that I see from time to time, where we sort of tack on our Christian faith and we sort of wrongly compartmentalize our lives. Are you a compartmental person? Some of you like to put your life in little compartments. Here is your Christian faith box, where you love Jesus, go to church on Sunday, read your Bible. But then you got the golf box over here, to not let that one die yet. And then you got your family box, and then you got your job and career box, and then you got your, you know, and everybody likes to compartmentalize, but you make sure that, you know, and if you're like a good red-blooded American, you say God and family and country, or, you know, whatever your priorities are. But see, here's the problem with that mentality. Does God want to be on your little priority list? Let me make a statement. God should not be number one in your life. What? Let me tell you why. And see, people say, oh, God is number one. What you just did is put God on your list. And my question is, does God even want to be on your little goofy list? Listen to this. Colossians chapter 3 says this in verse 4. When Christ, listen, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. What does it say? It says when Christ, who is our life, he doesn't want to be part of your life or on your little priority list. He's the whole deal. In other words, instead of compartmentalizing your life and you got your golf and your career and your family and your Jesus and all that, forget that. You can do compartments if you want, but Christ should be over the whole thing. Christ, who is your life, not number one in your life, he is your life. He's the whole thing. He's more than number one. He should be in your golf game. Christ should be in your career. Christ should be in your family. And you should see the Lord being woven throughout your whole fabric of your life and your being. See, and that's what it's saying here in Proverbs. It's saying, trust the Lord with all of your heart. You can't just do it half-heartedly. That's the idea. Number one, trust the Lord. Number two, with all thine heart. Number three, lean not unto thine own understanding. This is a hard one because you and I, some of us like to figure it out. Oh, we're in a pickle? In a predicament? Let's figure this out. I'm a problem solver. And oftentimes we end up messing things up. One of the things that's tricky about serving a God of power, a God who's creative, is sometimes the Lord doesn't want you to do the logical thing. That's the problem. Your own understanding is very limited. Do you know that? I'm always kind of amazed at our limitations as far as humanity goes. When you were born as a baby, do you realize how helpless you were? Like, for example, if you have a little puppy who's freshly born and you set that puppy down, chances are that puppy's going to survive. If you put a baby down after being born, that baby will die unless there's people there to help it. We don't know how to feed ourselves or take care of ourselves. You know, some animals get up and the first thing they do is like, okay, where's the food? And they start walking over to the food. Like, that's just animal. Like, we're so limited as people, and yet we think we're so smart. But God, I think, built us with limitations so that we would learn to put our trust in him. In Proverbs chapter 8, it says that wisdom, and the word wisdom sort of personified, it's like wisdom is a person. and wisdom's talking. And wisdom in Proverbs 8 says, I was there when God created the heavens and the earth. And the idea is there in Proverbs chapter 8 is it was by wisdom God created all things. Space and time and all of that. The wisdom of Proverbs is based on the truths that were built in all of creation. And the problem with you and I thinking that we can figure it out is it's putting us on the throne. You're the one who's suddenly the creator and the greater sustainer of the universe. If you're the only one who can figure out your problem, it's better to say, Lord, I'm limited in my understanding. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. I'm going to trust in you. Because sometimes the Lord will require you to step outside of what you can logically figure out. Here's what the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. When you're leaning on your own understanding, you are sort of replacing God. And God wants to do greater things than you understand. Some of you have done things like that, where you stepped outside of what was logical. And isn't it interesting how oftentimes those are some of the greatest things where God moves? But that's where you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And that's where the Lord has room to do some miraculous things in your life. Sometimes I think we like to be so in control that we limit what God can actually do in our lives. Well, trust in the Lord, number one. Number two, with all your heart. Number three, lean not on your own understanding. That brings us to number four. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. The word acknowledge, the Hebrew word for that is the word yada. Yada, yada, yada. What is that all about? Yada, to know, to not have knowledge about, to perceive. That's what it means, yada. So it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge, to know about him, to be acquainted with him, to know the Lord personally. How can you be acquainted with the Lord? The main way we have is his word. The word of God. You can know who the Lord is. I hear that from cynics and skeptics. They say, how do you know what God wants for humanity? And I'm always like, easy. The Bible tells us. I hear that from the atheist or the cynic. They say, what do you think you know about God? I don't think I know anything. But the Bible tells us everything. The Bible gives us all that we need about God. And one of the things that makes this all work together is you trust in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, but you also have to include this, and in all your ways acknowledge him. Remember the compartmentalized thing I was telling you about? In all thy ways, you acknowledge the Lord, whether it's your hobbies, your careers, your family, your church life, all your ways, you acknowledge the Lord. Don't leave him out of parts of your life, but in all your ways, obey his word, know his word, and the Lord will bless that. He'll bless it. He knows what's best for you. He knows your situation better than you do. I love what Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, that you can know that he's the one who can do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or even think about. More than you could even imagine, the Lord can bless you. And that's what he says. Trust in me. Don't lean on your understanding, but acknowledge me in all your ways. Then, what will he do? Well, that brings us to the fifth and final point, and this is huge. The first four tells us what we should be doing. The fifth and final point tells us the results. What happens when you trust the Lord with all your heart, not leaning on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging him? What happens? He shall direct thy paths. Direction. As a pastor, probably the single most common question I get is, Pastor Brett, how do I know what God's will for my life is? Which college should I go to? Pastor Brett, I laid all the letters from the colleges out on the table and I was putting my hands, which one's the warmest, Lord? Come on, tell me what college to go to. How do you know God's will for your life? That's the question people have. But see, this gives you the answer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He'll show you where to go. See, this is the greatest news of all. I'm convinced that if you do the first four, then you will know exactly what to do with your life. That's just the simple truth. Do the first four, and then you can't make a bad decision. if you've done the first four. Trusting the Lord, not leaning on your own understanding, acknowledging him in all your ways, leaning not on your understanding. Man, then the Lord will direct your paths. I love how the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 30, he says, I will be that still small voice and I will whisper in your ear whether to turn right or whether to turn left. The Lord wants to give you direction. And direction is all about God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He wants to direct your paths. And it's there for the taking. And so many people, when a big decision in life comes, instead of trusting the Lord, seeking him, not figuring it out for yourself, what they end up doing is making a decision based on logic or math or their gut feeling, not a good plan. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This, by the way, right here in our text here in Proverbs, is Christianity 101. Some of you are thinking, okay, Brad, it is easy. It's right here. It's spelled out pretty simply of what we're supposed to do. But I'll admit something to you. It's not always easy to do it. It's easy to know what we're supposed to do. If you just look at this list, it's like, okay, trust the Lord. Don't lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Okay, we know what to do, but it's the doing of it that sometimes is tricky and hard. When you're faced with a big decision, don't just glibly weigh out the good and the bad and make a list of the pros and cons. Don't just do that. Go to the Lord in prayer. Seek the Lord in his word when you're faced with big life decisions. Find a scripture that kind of either confirms or denies what you're about to do. Too many people just don't take this Christianity 101 prescription and they end up finding themselves kind of lost and wondering why things are going haywire in their lives when all the while the Bible gives us the exacting words of what we're supposed to do. Trust in the Lord. You see, if you do that, then you'll be rejoicing, like we said. You'll have great success as you walk with the Lord, but also you'll have clear paths, knowing which way to go, knowing what to do. This is what the Lord requires of us.
Pastor Brad Metter with some encouragement for trusting the Lord with all our heart and mind. And you're listening to Today's Word. I hope you'll stick around as Pastor Brett will join me to close out our encouragement series in just a moment. But first, Today's Word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland, Oregon, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. We invite you to find out more about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church by going to todayswordradio.com. That's todayswordradio.com. All right, Pastor Brett is joining me now. As we wrap up this series that we've called Words of Encouragement, this last message ended fittingly with putting our trust in the Lord. And knowing that if we lean on him, he will lead and guide us down the best path for our lives. Brett, what closing thoughts can you share with our listeners about that?
Thanks, Kurt. I really believe it's important for us to recognize that we have many voices chiming into our lives about, you know, what we should put our trust in. Some people would say government, or some people might say your families, or even there's a movement, you're enough, trust yourself, and these kinds of things. But really, all of those things will come up short. We really, really just need to focus on what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And, you know, we're told in Hebrews chapter 10, you know, to encourage one another. And it says, all the more as you see the day approaching or drawing near. And that is the day of the Lord. I think the closer we get to the end, the more of this kind of thinking and encouragement we need. So really, that's the goal here, is just to point people in the direction of trusting in the Lord, not in yourself, not in even this world, but truly just in the Lord.
All right, Brett. That is a great reminder. And I want to mention that if you'd like to share how these messages have impacted you, we'd love to hear from you. And we have a special toll-free phone number that we invite you to call and share your story. Here's the number, 1-877-772-1113. That's 877-772-1113. Or go to todayswordradio.com. Well, that's all the time we have. I hope you can be with us again as we jump back into the Gospel of John and look at the tension between worldly demands and divine purpose. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.